Now, in honour of Gambling Awareness Week, which is this week, we have invited Anna Martin, founder of the Untangle Project, an organisation that helps women navigate gambling harm. Hi, Anna. Thanks for speaking with us today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Now, to start, can you tell us a little bit about your own experience with gambling harm and how it led you to start this Untangle Project?
Certainly. So I had a pretty typical childhood, family lunches at the pub, and when I turned 18 was taken behind the glass screen where the pokies were, and as many people who have issues with gambling harm, won big fairly early, $200 I think it was, which is a lot for an 18-year-old at the time. And unfortunately for me, that progressed up to a seven-day-a-week addiction. And I was in active addiction for about 20 years before I moved into recovery and into setting up the project.
That is the problem, isn't it? You have to wish that you're going to lose that first time that you start gambling. Otherwise, you're hooked, right?
Absolutely right. I've spoken to a lot of people who've experienced similar journeys to me, and a lot of women have said to me that this is a hallmark of their interaction with the industry, is a big win early and looking at that as a pathway, which is pretty undeniable when you think about it. And I think that if different scenarios occurred, then people have different experiences.
Mm. Now, it's not often, women are not really talked about as typical gamblers. Is that a myth, or, what do you say about that?
I think that gambling is pitched in Australian media as a very male problem. The images that people associate with gamblers are sports betting, people in pubs yelling and having a good time. Women who speak to our project gamble in different ways and quite often use one of the following three words, which is guilt, shame, or fear. So it may not be what you see in terms of the loud voice associated with gambling, but women are just as prone to experiencing these issues as men. They just do it in different ways, and quite often the harm is around mental health and emotional distress rather than that loud kind of obvious portrayal of gambling.
Mm. So what are some of the red flags or warning signs that you would encourage women or their family and friends to look out for?
I think if people start to become secretive, I think if people disappear when they're not places where you're expecting them to be. For myself, I certainly had heightened emotional reactions in situations where you wouldn't expect those to occur, and concealing where money goes. So I, for example, had more flat tires than you could count. My wallet was lost on more occasions than you could think of, and those are quite often markers of problems that are just boiling away, probably not as far under the surface as people think.
Mm. And what, for you personally, how did you end up giving up, like getting over it? Like what was the lowest point? Is it that you have a really low point for you to get on with it, or how does it work?
I probably had a period of low. That's the best way that I can describe that. But for me, what worked was self-exclusion. And I know that that doesn't work for everybody. But because of the line of work that I'm in, I'm a legal professional, putting my career on the line through the self-exclusion process, which, where I live in South Australia, has a fine and a potential criminal conviction if you're caught in a venue and are the subject of self-exclusion order. I had to do that to ensure that I stopped, because I'd tried everything else. I'd tried traditional counselling, I'd tried helplines, I'd tried groups, and unfortunately nothing worked other than that process where I put something that was important to me and vital to my continued successful existence as a functioning adult on the line.
So self-inclusion, does that mean that they won't let you into that pub or bar or club?
It's a voluntary process here in South Australia. It runs slightly differently around the country, but here it's a voluntary interview process in South Australia where you can identify as wanting to be restricted from particular gambling rooms or venues. So say, for example, if you go into a pub and there's a gambling area, you don't necessarily have a level of restriction from the eating and drinking part, but if you enter the gambling part and are found there, you are considered to be in breach of your self-exclusion order. And that is an incentive for people to use that as a trigger to really think about whether that's a safe environment for them to be in.
So what happens if you are in breach?
If you are found in a gambling venue and you are in breach of a self-exclusion order, as I said, here in South Australia, there's a potential fine and criminal conviction. Unfortunately, it's a system that is not well policed around the country, including here, and it relies on venues, staff and regulators working together to have an interactive approach to managing the implementation of the register. Unfortunately, venue staff quite often are students or people that just want to come to work, do their job and go home without tackling someone who's in a venue where they shouldn't be. So the Untangle Project believes that although that is a good mechanism, there's a lot of work that needs to be done there to highlight the fact that tailored responses need to be put into place to ensure that things work.
Mm. Now, what kind of resources or support does your organisation currently offer?
So we're in the process of developing a number of projects. For us, the key one at the moment is our documentary, which is taking community stories and lived experience to highlight the issues for women and the need to ensure responses and changes are tailored. So if people are interested in becoming involved, all of that is on our website. So it's the Untangle Project AUS. .net. We're also taking a leading role in developing a global conversation series called All In, which is tying together advocates from the UK, the US, Canada, Scotland and the Philippines to talk about how these issues affect women globally. In terms of local assistance, what we're also doing at the moment is taking expressions of interest for our alternative recovery course. All the details are on the website there. I think it's important to note that we're not counsellors, so I'm a lived experience advocate and I'm working with other skilled women and lived experience advocates to deliver our project. But counselling is not something that we offer, and if people need that service, there are good organisations like Lifeline out there who can provide that immediate help.
Okay. And so is it all online or is there any in-person?
We don't have any in-person facilities as yet. We are in the process of developing things at the moment, but encourage people to look at our website and our social media, which has got all of our offerings detailed there.
Okay. Well, look, thank you very much, Anna. Thanks for coming on. And before we're about to go on to the next song, is there anything that you're very excited about in this project?
I think that the power of women together when they are at the table designing policy, prevention and support and service models and resources that are built for and by women are really an incredible experience to be a part of. So I have deep respect for lived experience people and hoping that our service continues to be something that drives change where it really needs to occur. So I say quite often that if this project helps one woman or supporter not experience what I experienced, then we've won. But in all honesty, awareness is good, but tailored action is better.
Fantastic. Now, thank you very much, Anna, for your...
Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
That was Anna, the founder of the Untangle Project. And to learn more and get in touch, just visit our website, 2scr.com. And you'll have the full story and links to their website.